1 Kings chapter 17. Biblical exposition. God who revealed unfailing grace and life. Introductory word. 1 Kings chapter 17 is the chapter in which God raises up Elijah in the deep darkness of the days of Ahab. Ahab had brought the worship of Baal and Asherah into northern Israel, and the hearts of the people had drifted still further from the law of sacrifice and the way of salvation God had ordained. In such an age, God had Elijah proclaim that for years there would be neither rain nor dew. This was God's rebuke, revealing that Baal is not a god who gives rain in abundance but a vain idol. But the drought was not merely a judgment for destruction. By stopping the rain, God intended to wake Israel and make them return to the true God. The reason God points out sin is not to cast the sinner away, but to bring him to life. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is the same. Exposing wrong faith is not meant to condemn people, but to bring them back to the true way of the remission of sin God has ordained. After delivering the word of God, Elijah hid by the brook Cherith. God fed him through the ravens and let him drink from the brook. But after a while, that brook also dried up. Being a servant of God does not mean passing through none of the dryness of reality. Yet the drying up of the brook was not the end, but the process of moving him on to the next word. God sent Elijah to the widow of Zarephath. That widow had only a handful of flour and a little oil, but when she believed and obeyed the word of God, the bin of flour and the jar of oil did not run dry. Then, through the event of her son dying and coming back to life, God revealed that He is the one who rules over life and death, and that the Word of God is true. All this Word makes us look to the grace of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Our circumstances can dry up, and what remains in our hands can look small. But the Word of salvation God has given does not dry up. Jesus took charge of our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and gave us new life by rising again from death. The person who believes this gospel of the water and the Spirit is supplied by the living God, even in an age like famine, and comes to stand as a vessel of faith that serves this truth. God raised up Elijah in the darkness of Ahab's days, and Elijah the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17 begins with the appearance of Elijah. In the previous chapter, Ahab was recorded as the king who did more evil in the sight of the Lord than all who were before him. He counted the sin of Jeroboam a light thing, took Jezebel as his wife, and brought the worship of Baal and Asherah deep into northern Israel. In Samaria, the temple and altar of Baal were built, and the hearts of the people drifted still further from the law of sacrifice God had ordained. In such an age, God raised up Elijah. Elijah stood before King Ahab and spoke, saying, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. These words show where Elijah's faith rested. In an age filled with Baal and Asherah, he was a man who served the living Lord God. Elijah proclaimed, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Baal was an idle thought to give rain and abundance. But through the mouth of Elijah, God revealed that rain and dew are not in the hand of Baal, but depend on the word of the living Lord God. This was not the forecast of a mere natural disaster, but God's judgment to wake Israel, which was serving a vain idol. Today as well. God does not leave alone a faith that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit. If a person claims to believe in Jesus and yet does not know the truth that Jesus took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, he cannot know how sin was passed on to Jesus. Then, even though he speaks of the cross, sin remains in his heart, and he tries to wash it away with prayers of repentance and his own efforts. This is not the way of the remission of sin God has ordained. The salvation God has established is clear. Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. Believing this gospel of the water and the Spirit is the way of returning to the living God. Stopping the rain was meant not only to destroy the people, but to turn them back. The drought Elijah proclaimed was something that shook the whole of Israel. When no rain falls and no dew descends, the land dries up, the grain cannot grow, and people and beasts alike suffer. But God's allowing such a judgment was not merely his intent to destroy Israel. He intended to wake the people who were dying under the idolatry of Ahab and Jezebel. The people of Israel believed that Baal gives rain and abundance. So God, by stopping the rain, revealed that Baal is a vain idol. He made them know that the idol they relied on could do nothing, and made them realize that the one who truly rules rain and life is the Lord God. God's rebuke is heavy, but within it there is mercy. God hates sin, but he desires that the people in sin return. His sending Elijah was not to cast Israel away, but God's work to bring them back to himself. The work of preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit today is the same. Pointing out wrong faith is not meant to condemn people. Exposing why a faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross cannot resolve the sins of the heart is meant to bring souls back to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Because God loves sinners, he makes the true way of the remission of sin clearly known. God hid away the servant who had delivered the word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here, and turn eastward, and hide, by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 2 through 3. After Elijah proclaimed the drought to Ahab, the word of the Lord came to Elijah again. God told him to leave that place, turn eastward, and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. After delivering the word of God, Elijah did not immediately perform great works before the people. He went into hiding in the place God had appointed. This shows that a servant of God is not a man who moves by his own zeal or his own methods, but a man who moves according to the word of God. Elijah stood before Ahab by the word of God, and he also hid according to the word of God. A servant of God is a man who entrusts to God both the times of being seen before people and the times of being hidden. The brook Cherith was for Elijah both a refuge and a place of training. While Ahab and Jezebel sought Elijah and hated him, God protected his servant. But that protection was not carried out in a palace or a place of plenty. It was carried out in the lonely place by the brook. The person who believes in and preaches the gospel of the water and the Spirit can also at times be hated by the world and by false faith. When we preach that the remission of sin was completed by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death, religious faith that still holds sin in its heart can be made uncomfortable. But God knows the person who delivers his word. Even without people's recognition, he lets him receive God's provision in the place God has appointed. God fed Elijah at the brook Cherith. "And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did, according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 4 through 6. God told Elijah to drink from the brook Cherith, and said he had commanded the ravens to feed him there. Elijah did according to the word of the Lord and stayed by the brook Cherith. Then the ravens brought bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and Elijah drank from the brook. God fed his servant, even in the midst of the drought, though there was no rain and no dew in all the land, for the person who lived according to the word of God. There was the provision God had appointed. A raven, by human thinking, is not a creature likely to bring food. But when God commands, even a raven becomes an instrument that feeds the servant of God. This shows the fact that God takes responsibility for the person to whom he has entrusted his work. He fed Elijah not because Elijah was special, but because God had sent him. It was not Elijah's ability, but God's faithfulness that kept him alive. It is the same today with the person who serves the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Even when the way looks blocked in people's eyes, God supplies what is needed to the person who does the work God has entrusted. The work of preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not accomplished by human strength alone. It is accomplished because God pities souls and turns sinners back through this truth. What we must rely on is not human methods, but the Word of God. When we hold on to the truth that Jesus took charge of our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed salvation by rising again from death, God Himself leads the life that serves this truth. The drying up of the brook was the place of waiting for God's next word. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7. After a while, the brook Cherith dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Even Elijah was not entirely outside the reality of the drought. He was a servant of God, and he was supplied food through the ravens. But the brook he drank from also dried up in the end. This scene shows that even a servant of God passes through the hardships of reality. Serving God does not mean that every circumstance is always abundant. There are times when the brook God has been using to supply us dries up. But that does not mean God has abandoned us. It is the process by which God moves us on to the next word. Even after the brook dried up, Elijah did not move by his own thinking. In the next passage, God speaks again and sends him to the widow of Zarephath. So the drying up of the brook is not the end, but the beginning of the next obedience. We too, as we live believing the gospel of the water and the Spirit, can meet times when the brook Cherith dries up. Circumstances can be blocked. Supply can shrink, and human help can disappear from view. But the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has given does not dry up. Our circumstances may dry up, but the salvation Jesus accomplished by his baptism, the cross, and his resurrection from death does not change. Therefore, even when circumstances dry up, we must hold on to the truth God has given. God stopped the rain to wake Israel, which relied on Baal, and at the same time fed Elijah at the brook Cherith. Even within judgment, God has his way of salvation and provision. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, shows the beginning of God's turning them back to the true God. This passage is the scene in which Elijah proclaims the drought to Ahab hides by the brook Cherith according to the word of God, and is supplied food through the ravens. The days of Ahab were an age in which the worship of Baal and Asherah had deepened. The people relied on vain idols and had drifted from the law of sacrifice and the way of salvation God had ordained. In such an age, God raised up Elijah and had him proclaim that rain and dew would cease. This drought was a judgment, exposing Baal as a vain idol that can do nothing. At the same time, it was the beginning of mercy meant to turn Israel back to God. God hates sin, but he desires that the people in sin return. So he sent Elijah, and through his word, he began to wake Israel from its spiritual sleep. Today as well, what God desires is that people return to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. A faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross cannot resolve the sins of the heart. A faith that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts is not the way of the remission of sin God has ordained either. What God has established is the gospel of the water and the Spirit, in which Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and accomplished complete salvation by rising again from death. Just as Elijah stood before the living Lord God and delivered the word to Ahab, so the believer in this age must clearly preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit that the living God has accomplished. Through this truth, God wakes the souls that rely on vain idols and brings them back to the true God. Even after the brook Cherith dried up, the word of God continued. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 9. Elijah was the prophet who delivered the word of God in the very middle of the idolatry of Ahab's days. In the days of Ahab and Jezebel, the worship of Baal and Asherah had come deep into northern Israel. Baal was an idol thought to give rain in abundance. But God had Elijah proclaim that neither rain nor dew would fall. This was God's work of exposing Baal as a vain idol and turning Israel back to the true God. After that, God hid Elijah by the brook Cherith and fed him bread and meat through the ravens. But after a while, that brook also dried up, because no rain had fallen on the land. Being a servant of God did not mean passing through none of the reality of the drought. Elijah, too, had to watch the brook dry up. But the drying up of the brook did not mean the end of God's guidance. The word of the Lord came to Elijah again. God sent him to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and said that he had commanded a widow there to provide for him. This shows that God can change the way of provision. First he fed him through the ravens and the brook. Now he feeds him through the widow of Zarephath. The man of God must follow not circumstances, but the word of God. When the brook dries up, he must not think it is the end, but wait for the next word and obey that word. We too, who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, can meet times when the brook Cherith dries up. Circumstances can be blocked, human help can shrink, and visible supply can grow weak. But the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has given does not dry up. The salvation Jesus completed by receiving baptism from John and taking charge of all our sins, receiving the judgment of those sins on the cross, and rising again from death, does not change in any circumstances. The widow of Zarephath was a poor woman facing death. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 10 through 11. Elijah went to Zarephath according to the word of God. There he met a widow. She was gathering sticks at the gate of the city. This shows that she was not a person of plenty. It was a time of severe drought, a time when there was nothing to eat. She was gathering sticks to prepare her last meal. Elijah first asked her to bring a little water. And as she was going to get it, he called her again and asked her to bring a morsel of bread. In human eyes, this was a very burdensome request. The widow was not a person of plenty. She was rather a person preparing to eat her last meal with her son and die. But the word of God sometimes goes beyond our calculations. God fed Elijah not through a rich or powerful person, but had him served by a widow who had only one last meal left. This shows that God looks not at a person's abundance, but at faith. Today as well, in the work of serving the gospel of the water and the Spirit, God does not look first at how much or how little a person has. It is not that one can do God's work only with great wealth and great ability. What God looks at is whether the heart believes the word of God. Even if one's circumstances look small, the heart that regards the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has ordained is precious, and seeks to serve the truth is precious before God. Will you hold on to the last that remains, or believe the word of God? So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12. The widow spoke honestly of her circumstances. She had no bread. She had only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. With that, she was thinking to prepare her last meal, eat it with her son, and after that die. These words show how severe the famine of that age was. The widow of Zarephath had nothing more to hope for. All that remained to her was a handful of flour and a little oil. In human eyes, it was the last lifeline she had to protect. But in that very place, God required faith. It was the moment that would reveal whether she would hold on to the last that remained as her own life, or believe the word of God and lay it before that word. This applies to our lives just as it is. When hardship comes, people try to clutch what remains to them. They want to hold their last time, their last material things, their last strength, and their last opportunity for themselves. But there are times when God requires faith of us for the gospel of the water and the Spirit. At such times, we must believe not our own calculations, but the Word of God. Of course, this word does not mean to dispose of what we have indiscriminately. What matters is the word God has spoken. The widow of Zarephath did not merely hear the demand of Elijah as an individual. She came to stand before the promise of God delivered through Elijah. The believer also must live by faith, not under human compulsion, but within the Word of God and the will of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Believing the Word of God first is the greater vessel of faith. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son." 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 13. Elijah said to the widow, "Do not fear." The beginning of faith is escaping from fear. The widow could have feared losing the last she had. But the word of God told her to act not in fear but in faith. Elijah told her to make a small cake first and bring it to him, and afterward to make some for herself and her son. This was not simply a human demand to feed the prophet first. It meant to believe first and obey the word God had spoken through Elijah. When she first believed the word of God, God promised to keep her and her house alive. This is the greater vessel of faith. By human calculation, a handful of flour and a little oil are one's last means of survival. But seen by faith, they become the beginning of experiencing God's promise. If the widow had clutched the last she had in her own hand, it would have ended as one meal. But when she believed the word of God and obeyed, it led to God's provision that fed them for many days. Today, we who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit must also prepare this vessel of faith. The salvation God has given us was not given so that we alone might live comfortably. It is the grace by which He intends, through us, to pass on to more souls this truth, that Jesus took charge of all our sins with the baptism He received from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us by rising again from death. Therefore, we must not look only at our own circumstances, but see by faith how God intends to use us for the gospel of the water and the Spirit. God's promise kept the flour and the oil from running out. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, "The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 14. Elijah delivered God's clear promise. Until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth, the bin of flour would not be used up, and the jar of oil would not run dry. This was not Elijah's personal comfort, but the word of the Lord God of Israel. The word of God was concrete. It was the promise that food would not run out until the drought ended. What the widow needed was not a great storehouse. It was that the flour and oil for each day would keep being supplied within God's promise. This word shows that God is the one who fills the needs of the person who obeys in faith. God fed Elijah through the widow of Zarephath, and at the same time kept the widow's house alive through Elijah. The work of God is not a work that one-sidedly consumes one person. God keeps alive together the person who believes His word and serves it. The work of the gospel of the water and the Spirit is the same. When we serve the gospel of the water and the Spirit, God gives life to other souls through that work and keeps us alive as well. A life that serves the righteousness of God is not a life that only loses. God supplies the needed grace to the person who offers his heart for the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The flour and the oil make us think spiritually of God's supply of life. Our strength is small and limited, but the grace of the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has given does not dry up. The salvation accomplished by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death is not knowledge believed once and finished. It is God's provision that keeps giving life to our hearts and lives. When she obeyed according to the word, they ate for many days. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 15 through 16. The widow of Zarephath did according to the word of Elijah. She did not cling to her last remaining flour and oil and move only by her own calculation. She believed God's promise and obeyed. As a result, she and Elijah and her household ate for many days. According to the word the Lord had spoken by Elijah, the bin of flour was not used up, and the jar of oil did not run dry. What matters here is the fact that the word of God was fulfilled just as it was. The widow's bin did not become a great storehouse from the start, but the flour and oil needed each day were never cut off. God fed that house in the drought just as he had promised. Faith is actually following the word of God. The widow could have feared, but she obeyed. Looking only at her circumstances, it was impossible, but she believed the promise of God. So her last meal did not end in death, but became the beginning of experiencing the provision of life. Today we also need this faith before the gospel of the water and the Spirit. By human calculation, what we have may look small, but if God has entrusted the gospel of the water and the Spirit to us, we must serve that work in faith. God can feed souls even through our small vessel. What matters is whether that vessel is open before the word of God. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16 teaches us to prepare a greater vessel of faith. This passage shows the scene in which Elijah leaves the brook Cherith and goes to the widow of Zarephath, and the miracle in which the widow's bin of flour and jar of oil do not run dry. In the severe famine, the widow of Zarephath intended to eat her last remaining flour and oil with her son and die. But when she heard the word of God and first obeyed in faith, God fed that house for many days. This word teaches us to prepare a greater vessel of faith. The vessel of faith is not the abundance or lack of material things, but the heart that believes the word of God and seeks to serve the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The widow of Zarephath had only a handful of flour and a little oil, but through it God fed Elijah and kept the widow's house alive as well. Today, God desires to give life to souls through those who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. The person who believes this truth is the person who has received the remission of sin before God. Therefore, we must not look only at our own circumstances in fear. When even the small strength that looks like our last is offered in faith before the Word of God, God accomplishes the work of life through it. We must prepare a greater vessel of faith for the gospel of the water and the Spirit. We must set our hearts on serving the truth God has given and passing it on to the souls that need it. Just as the widow of Zarephath's bin of flour and jar of oil were not used up, the grace of the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has established does not dry up. The circumstances may be famine, the brook Cherith may dry up, and it may look as though we have only a handful in our hands. But to the person who believes and obeys the Word of God, God supplies the needed grace. With this faith, we must live a life that serves the righteousness of God and the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The son's death exposed the deep sense of sin in the widow's heart. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 18. In the house of the widow of Zarephath, there had already been a miracle of God. The bin of flour was not used up, and the jar of oil did not run dry. God fed that house in the famine through Elijah. But after that, the widow's son became sick, and his sickness grew so serious that his breath left him. This event cannot be understood in the manner of, if you have faith, there is no affliction. The widow's house had experienced God's provision, yet it came to stand before the problem of death. Even a person who has experienced the miracles God gives can still stand before death. The fundamental problem of man, the miracle of the flour and the oil, was a grace that preserved the life of the flesh. But the son's death exposed a deeper problem that human strength cannot solve. The widow said to Elijah, "Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 18. These words show that deep in the widow's heart, there was a sense of sin. But we must not conclude from this word that her son died because of some particular sin of hers. The text says only that in the face of her son's death, she was reminded of her sin. Death makes a person think deeply of his sin and of his standing before God. It is the same with people today. In times of ease, a person may not see his sin well. But standing before death and affliction, the human conscience is reminded of its sin before God. So what a person needs is not merely the help of the flesh. He needs the salvation that actually resolves the sins of the heart. The true salvation God has given is the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John. Received the judgment of those sins on the cross and saved us completely by rising again from death. When we believe this truth, we can hold the assurance of the remission of sin even in the face of death. Elijah carried the problem of death to God, and he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 19. Elijah took the child from the widow, carried him in his arms, and went up to the upper room where he was staying. He laid the child on his own bed. Elijah did not argue with the widow. He did not answer her reproach with words. He carried the dead child up before God. This is what a man of God must do. The problem of man's death and sin cannot be solved by human words. It is not solved by words of comfort alone, nor by human knowledge or experience. Elijah carried that problem before God. For it is God who rules over life. The people of Ahab's days served Baal as though he were the god of rain and abundance. But Baal could give neither rain nor life. When the widow's son died, the one who could bring that child to life was not Baal either. Only the living Lord God was the one who rules over life. Today as well, what gives life to a person's soul is not man's religious methods. A faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the blood of the cross cannot explain how sin was passed on to Jesus. A faith that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and its own efforts cannot give life to a dead soul either. What gives life to the soul is the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. Elijah's prayer was directed to God, who rules over life. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge, by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times, and cried out to the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. Elijah cried out to the Lord. He prayed, O Lord my God. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 21. To Elijah, God was not a God of theory, but the living God, whom he himself served and relied on. Elijah stretched himself out on the child three times and prayed to God. This act shows an earnestness in which Elijah seemed to lay even his own life before God together with the child. He asked God for the restoration of life. Let this child's soul come back to him. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 21. Man cannot bring back the soul of the dead. Only God can give life again. This scene makes us look toward the saving power that Jesus Christ would accomplish. Man was dead before God because of sin. Even though the flesh is alive, if there is sin in the heart, before God one is cut off from life. So what man needs is not moral improvement or religious zeal, but the salvation that actually brings him to life out of sin. Jesus came to this earth to accomplish this salvation. By receiving baptism from John, he took charge of all our sins on his own body, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and gave us new life by rising again from death. If Elijah's prayer is the scene of asking God for the life of a dead child, the gospel of the water and the Spirit is God's complete salvation that actually gives life to souls dead in sin. God made the child's life return. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 22. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, the soul of the child came back into his body, and the child revived. This is not Elijah's own power, but the power of God. Elijah prayed, and God answered. The one who gave life was the Lord God. This event reveals who the true God is amid the idolatry of Ahab's days. Baal can neither send rain nor bring the dead to life. But the Lord God is the one who stops the rain and sends it again, and who also makes the life of a dead child return. Through this miracle, God also made the widow of Zarephath know that he is the true God. At first, the widow had intended to eat her last meal and die. But when she believed the word of God and served Elijah, the bin of flour and the jar of oil did not run dry. Now, she saw her dead son come back to life. God led her faith into a deeper place. We too must come to know the God of life through the gospel of the water and the Spirit. God is not merely the one who fills the needs of the flesh. He is the one who resolves the problem of sin and death. Through the baptism, Jesus Christ received the cross and his resurrection from death. God has completely removed our sins and set us in new life. Returning the child to her arms shows the mercy of God. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 23. Elijah took the living child, came down from the upper room into the house, and gave him to his mother. And he said, "See, your son lives." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 23. The child who had died returned to his mother's arms. This shows how real the mercy of God is. God's miracle was not abstract. The widow actually received her son again. Her sorrow was turned into joy. But the center of this event does not lie only in the reunion of mother and son. Through this, it was revealed that the living God was with Elijah, and that the word of God is true. God's work of giving life to people is the same. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is not an abstract doctrine. It is the power of salvation that actually removes sin from a person's heart and sets him before God as a living righteous person. Through the baptism, Jesus received our sins were passed on to him. On the cross, those sins were judged, and by his rising again from death, new life has been given to us. Therefore, we must believe this salvation as something real. It is not comforting ourselves that we are saved while sin remains in the heart. It is believing the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has ordained, so that sin disappears from the conscience and we stand boldly before God. The widow acknowledged the man of God and the word of God. Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. The widow said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. This confession is the conclusion of the whole event. God did not merely bring one child to life. He established in one person's heart faith in the word of God. At first, the widow did not fully know Elijah as a man of God. She was a woman holding her last flour and oil in a severe famine. But she heard the word of God and obeyed. She saw the miracle of the flour and the oil that did not run dry. And now she saw her son come back to life from death. As a result, she came to confess that Elijah was a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in his mouth was the truth. This is the important purpose of what God did through Elijah. God turns back to the true God the people who are in vain faith. In an age filled with Baal and Asherah, God revealed that only the living Lord is the true God. And he made known that the word of God is always true. The work of preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit today is the same. It is not merely giving people religious knowledge. It is making them know that the word of the remission of sin God has ordained is true. It is leading them to believe that this word is true, that Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 24, teaches us to return to God who brings the dead to life. This passage is the event in which the son of the widow of Zarephath died and came back to life through Elijah's prayer. In the face of her son's death, the widow was reminded of her sin, and Elijah carried the problem of that death to God. God heard Elijah's prayer and made the child's soul come back into his body so that he lived. As a result, the widow confessed that Elijah was a man of God and that the word of the Lord in his mouth was the truth. This word shows that God is not only the one who gives the food of the flesh, but the one who rules over life and death. The God who kept the bin of flour and the jar of oil from running dry also brought the dead child to life. This was God's work of exposing the Baal of Ahab's days as a vain idol and turning people back to the living Lord God. For people today as well, the greatest problems are sin and death. These problems are not solved by human morality or religious zeal. They are solved only by the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has ordained. Jesus took charge of all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and gave us eternal life by rising again from death. Therefore, like the confession of the widow of Zarephath, we must believe that the word of God is true. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a human word, but the word of life God has given to bring sinners to life. The person who believes this truth is the person who has escaped the power of sin and death and returned to the living God.